Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, everyone knows that as we grow older, our brains first stagnate and then ultimately begin failing to function to serve our needs. Memory goes, then ability to reason, adapt, and change, and to learn new things, because you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So our brains are destined to atrophy as we grow older, right? Wrong, think again, says today's guest, Dr. Simone Ravitz, PhD. In fact, she argues that as you grow older, you can grow gray matter, improve memory, and enhance brain connections at any age. Mm-hmm. And even better news, research shows that you can reprogram your brain to reduce anxiety, depression, stress and anger, as well as increase happiness, productivity, and success. And that sounds just like a formula for a joyful and productive second half of life, which obviously is a primary goal for all of us. You exercise your body, don't you? So why not your brain? And Dr. Simone Ravitz, PhD, is also a fellow MBA. She's a certified business and life coach, speaker, and therapist, author of several books, including the soon-to-be-released Brain Bliss, 7 Ways to Help Your Brain Help Yourself, great title, and she specializes in counseling small business owners and entrepreneurs, but she doesn't stop there. She's helped more than 15,000 people improve their physical, mental, and spiritual health, and she's been featured on NPR and in Women's World and Good Housekeeping, along with several other magazines. And it's indeed an honor to have her with us here today. And hello, Dr. Ravitz, and welcome.
Well, I am so happy to be here, and thank you for that fantastic introduction. You covered a lot of things that I was going to talk about there.
Well, just introduce them. But let's begin with the recent scientific discoveries. Is it true that scientists now believe that we can generate new brain cells and pathways in our brains at any point in our lifetime?
Exactly. That is true, and that used to be one of the myths. There are a number of myths, as you mentioned, about the brain, and that particular myth is put to rest by our discovery of neurogenesis, which basically means that we can create new nerve cells throughout our lives at any point in our lives.
I see. Yeah.
Right. The old belief that nerve cells, once they die, that we were just left with, you know, the remaining nerve cells is false.
Oh, I like that example that I think I saw on your website that, for instance, if you learn a new language, you generate a whole bunch of new cells in your brain that you hadn't accessed before.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what really helps with creating new nerve cells is when we're learning something and we're emotionally involved in it. So if we can get excited about it, that helps with learning and creating new brain cells. Repetition helps to create new brain cells. And novelty, newness, also helps to create new brain cells.
Yeah, it's so true. I think that if you genuinely believe that you'll be successful in learn new things and generate new thoughts, you will be. And if you don't believe you can do that, you probably won't be.
Exactly. And that explains one of the other myths about the brain. And, you know, it was believed, just as it was believed that nerve cells couldn't be regenerated, it was believed that the brain pretty much was developed after childhood and stayed the same until we started losing functioning, as you explained so well, and we're on a downward path. But because of a lot of the new technology that we have and some great researchers, we now know that there's something called neuroplasticity, which means basically the brain is plastic and can be changed.
I see. Yeah, I saw that term on your website. And,
right.
An interesting concept. Well, is it true that you can change anything and everything about your life just by changing the way you think? You know, that almost sounds too good to be true.
Well, it does sound almost too good to be true. You're right. But the fact is that we really can. Our brains, our thoughts create our own realities. And we create our lives, the way that we live our lives. Our thoughts determine our emotions and our behaviors. And so by changing our thinking, we can create new neuronal pathways in the brain. And specifically focusing on positive things, we can create positive neuronal pathways.
Yeah.
And those, in turn, dictate how we feel, act, and think.
Yeah, it's almost like a self-fulfilling
exactly.
prophecy. When you think negative thoughts, it generally comes true.
It's really true. It really does work that way. And if we have our mind on being successful, on living a meaningful life, on being happy. There are all kinds of measures we can take to change the brain so that we attain those things. And also we emit energies. And if we're always in a bad mood and thinking negative thoughts, we emit negative energies.
Yeah.
And we end up creating negative scenarios in our lives.
Why do you think it is that, you know, so many people read these, way back when, Norman Vincent Peale's
right.
Power of Positive Thinking, or more recently, The Secret, you know, and they read those books and get all enthused, but they don't seem to be able to change their way of thinking really. Why
right, right. Well, there are several reasons for that. One is it takes a while for the brain to change. And you've got to repeat. You've got to practice.
Yeah.
And we know that a lot of people aren't great at that. They want instant results.
Yeah, I've done that myself a few times in the past. Got all
mm-hmm. It takes practice and rehearsal and repetition in the brain for it to change,
yeah.
To get the neuroplasticity going. Another is that people, for the most part, most people have big issues with change. Many people are very fearful when it comes to change because it involves the unknown.
Yeah.
And evolutionarily speaking, that would make sense that we are afraid
yeah.
of the unknown.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, although they proclaim consciously that they want to change, their subconscious is saying no way, and our subconscious mind is in charge of 95% of our behavior.
Well, I was amazed from your website. I think you state that 80% of the thoughts we think today are the same thoughts we had yesterday.
Yes, we thought yesterday.
And most of them are negative.
And we're negative, exactly.
It seems so counterproductive, and I guess that explains why it's so difficult to change easily without a bunch of practice.
Right. You know, you do have to practice. People are fearful of change, and we have and the brain likes consistency. It likes to keep things as they are. So when you do really want to change, you have to contend with a number of forces that are trying to keep you, you know, staying the same.
Yeah.
But it can certainly be done. You've got to set your intentionality. You got to be motivated and work on it. Now, it takes, people estimate, 3 to 4 weeks to develop a habit.
Oh, I see.
Right. So you've definitely got to be doing it for at least that long. And things like affirmations, you mentioned The Secret.
Yeah.
A lot of people give up on affirmations because they say they don't work for me.
Oh.
Well, people aren't usually doing them correctly.
Yeah.
With an affirmation, it has to be in the present tense. Like, I'm looking in my hand at a check for $200,000 that I made in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling really great about that. So you have to be emotionally involved with it.
Yeah.
You have to be very specific. And you have to immerse yourself in feeling what it would feel like to have that. What does it look like?
Yeah.
What do you hear? You know, you've got to really immerse yourself. And one of the reasons for that is that visualization is key
yeah.
and is very important in change. The brain does not know the difference between what we visualize and what is reality.
Yes, that's very true.
Yes. So, for example,
like you say,
they have, if you have, they had, they studied a group of basketball players, and half of the basketball players just imagined making the shots in their minds.
Yeah.
The other half actually physically practiced. And at the end of the program, those who had just imagined it did just almost as well as those who had actually been physically doing the work.
Yeah, it's just the immersion and really getting into it is the problem with so many people. Like you say, they get distracted when they're doing these exercises and visualizing, and they don't really visualize it. There's a little way down in the brain, there's something that keeps telling them, no, you can't really do this.
Yeah, and part of what you're talking about, you hit it right on. There's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, or the RAS.
Yeah.
And that part of the brain, for example, let's say my friend got her hair cut, and it was kind of an odd-looking cut. I didn't know how I felt about it, but I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And the next day I go out, and I'm seeing this haircut everywhere. Have you ever had an experience like that? Once you learned about something, you start seeing it everywhere?
Yeah, I have had that kind of experience.
Yeah, that's because the RAS lets information through that it deems as important.
Huh.
So if you keep focusing on something, it's going to be deemed as important by your RAS, and it's going to let it through to your conscious mind, where you have a chance there of working on it and of changing.
I was very impressed by your transformational thinking template.
Uh-huh, on my website.
Train your brain that you can access on Dr. Ravitz's website. And you indicate that there are three types or levels of thoughts in your brain, and some are conscious and some are unconscious.
Right.
And what are these three types and how do they interact? I thought that was fascinating.
Well, there's the conscious level, which... And you're talking about in the negative way,
the negative cognitive thoughts? The automatic thoughts.
Yeah, the automatic thoughts are at the top, and those are things like if we drop something or we mess up on an exam or something, we say, oh, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a loser. And then there are assumptions beneath those.
Yeah.
And those they're a little deeper, and they act to tie together the conscious and the subconscious belief.
Yeah.
Each time as you go, as you're thinking a negative thought, if you ask yourself, what does that negative thought mean to me or about me?
Yeah.
You're going to go deeper and deeper, and you're going to get into the really basic subconscious thinking. So, okay, you start with, I'm a failure. So then you ask, what does that mean to me or about me?
Yeah.
That everybody's going to make fun of me. Nobody's going to like me. And you ask, you say, what does that mean to me or about me?
Yeah.
I'm unlovable.
Yeah, you get
and
down
for
to
a
that
human being to think
that,
that's the scariest thing that they can think.
Yeah, that may have been implanted in you when you were a small child.
Exactly.
You got criticized or failed at something and were ostracized for it. And what's fascinating about that is, and people can go to your website and learn all about that, is you analyze both up and down and across of what your emotions are based on the thought you had, and then whether they affect you like 0 to 10 and how much.
Yeah, you rate your emotions because remember your thoughts cause your emotions and your behavior. So you write down the negative thought.
Yeah.
You write down the resulting negative emotion, and you rate it from 0 to 10, how disturbing it is.
But then what I really like is you then give some rational thinking and reflect that into the thought and say, does this really make sense in terms of...
Exactly, and people are going to find out that much of their thinking is irrational.
Yeah, that's
really, truly is.
And then after you apply rationality to it, you rate it again, and oftentimes the... 7, 8, or 9, or the 10, or something, and anxiety goes down to about 3 or 4.
3 to 2, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it really does work. And you also will see a change in behaviors. I think that one of the examples was somebody who was afraid to network, and he was withdrawing, and he wasn't participating. After he changed his negative thoughts into rational, more positive thoughts, his behavior changed, and he went out and started interacting with people.
Yeah,
and you know from that, that the consequences are going to be better for him.
And that's exactly like the power of positive thinking, because it does work that way.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out and start applying it and taking those little baby steps at first.
Right,
but then,
right.
No, I love that that template, and I would highly recommend people go to your website to access that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what the address is. It's www.essentials, with an S, essentialscoaching.net.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
.net, not
.com. .net, not .com.
Yeah. Okay, well, I was certainly very impressed by that. And
well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. It is fascinating
you
stuff.
You have a new book coming called Brain Bliss, and you present 7 ways to help your brain help yourself, and that's coming
right
out, I guess, in a couple of months. But please give us 2 or 3 things that we can do to exercise our brains.
Well, it's funny that you use the word exercise, because I would highly recommend, especially if we're discussing aging, as we were at the beginning, highly recommend some exercise. Physical exercise.
Yeah.
There's one study that was done amongst elderly individuals, and one group was told to stretch, one group was told to walk.
Oh.
At the end of a year, the group that was told to stretch, their hippocampus, which is the center of memory, had shrunken, had lost volume, which is typical if you're not doing things to stop that. The group that had walked, their hippocampus had grown, and they had actually regained 2 years back of memory.
So there actually is a relation between physical and mental, and the actual physical exercise helps.
Huge relationship.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, it's huge. Some people call it the relationship when they're looking for what elements impact the brain. Some people call exercise the relationship.
Yeah. But, we had a guest on a while back talking about movement for elderly people and how worthwhile that was.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly, those kind of studies certainly emphasize that. But
Right. Some of the techniques that I talk in the books about in the book, such as meditation, neurohypnosis, and other things, those actually make structural and physical changes in the brain, too. You can increase the size of your frontal lobes, and those are the really important part of the brain that's in charge of things like planning, decision-making, problem-solving, and creativity.
Going and active and growing, because those are pretty important parts of the brain.
They sure are. And you also want to engage both hemispheres of the brain.
Yeah.
And you really want to try to activate the left hemisphere as often as possible. That's the positive part of the brain, where people experience more happiness and joy, and they think more positively. And the left hemisphere, if you recall, is the rational, logical part of the brain that has verbal, that can speak words. So do things like crossword puzzles, writing in a journal, doing things of that nature greatly help.
Yeah, that's for sure. Or conducting a radio interview.
Yes, exactly. You're using your brain.
I'm learning a lot from people like you, that's for sure. Well, after taxes, perhaps our least favorite topic this time of year would be taxes, but the next would probably be stress.
There are
some surprising ways that stress can affect your brain and your health. And perhaps more important, do you have any quick suggestions for dealing with stress? How do we get
I do. In one of my previous books, it was called High on Stress, A Woman's Guide to Optimizing the Stress in Her Life. I talked about this concept that I created called pro-stress. And basically, it's the antithesis of negative stress. Instead of seeing something as a threat, and most things that we're responding to with stress these days are not life-threatening events.
Yeah.
And that's what the stress response was developed to deal with, was life-threatening events in our ancestors.
Fight or flight.
fight or flight. So we're reacting to things like red lights, traffic jams, critical boss. We're reacting with the full-on stress response.
Yeah, your boss.
And we get very little
like
alleviation, so it becomes chronic. So what you want to do is look at things as a challenge rather than a threat.
Yeah, you say there's positive stress as well as negative stress.
Yes, there is, and actually positive stress counteracts the effects of negative stress. For example, negative stress suppresses the immune system.
Yeah.
Pro-stress boosts the immune system.
Huh.
It repairs heart tissue and other tissues in the body, and it boosts mood, and it has a lot of positive effects, pro-stress. That's when you see something, as I said, as a challenge.
Yeah.
You see it as meaningful to you. You're very involved in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you age through your middle years, you actually can improve your memory, concentration, attention span, and mental acuity, and in effect defy the odds that say they should decline as you age.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got it.
That's great. Why, this is a kind of an unrelated question, but you say that multitasking is a bad idea.
Right.
And I'd like to pass that on to our son, Jeff, who always multitasks all the time. Like he's watching TV and playing video games.
Yes, I have a son who does the same thing.
Why is that not a good
idea? It's not good for the brain because it overwhelms the brain. The brain is really dedicated to doing one task at once, and if you're doing two tasks, you do more poorly on both tasks.
that's pretty understandable.
But people think that they're doing them fine, but they're doing more poorly.
No, I know when I try to do something with a TV on, I do very poorly at it.
Right.
Finally, I get there, or the radio on, I get smart and turn off the radio or TV.
Exactly. Exactly.
Never works that well.
Or just turn it way down, so it's just a dull sound in the back.
Yeah, I often watch basketball or football games on TV. Don't particularly want to listen to the announcer, so I turn on some music.
Oh, that's funny.
And my record player instead, or my CD player.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that one before.
You know, I guess that's a form of multitasking, but I enjoy it because I love the music, and I also can sometimes I watch the game more closely if the announcer isn't telling me what to watch.
Right, exactly. I can understand that. You would prefer the European sportscasters who don't say much.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's not really a major issue. But,
no.
Well, you specialize in coaching and consulting with small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Right.
And what advice would you offer to a person of middle age that's either planning to start a new business or attempting to turn around a struggling existing business? Do you have any suggestions? I know that's kind of a broad question, obviously.
Yeah, it is. And people in that situation do tend to feel a lot of stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
And they also try to do all of the jobs. They try to wear all of the hats, which does not work. And they've got to be willing to give up on some of the tasks and learn to delegate. And remember why they're in the business that they are. They probably got involved with it because they were very passionate about it.
Yeah.
So they've got to maintain that understanding that this is something, you know, that they want to do and not get just bowled over by all the daily demands.
You make an excellent point on your website that most of us are not very good at receiving from others.
Right.
It's amazing that you think that we'd be real open to that, but a lot of us, for one reason or another, are not good receivers.
Right, we're not. And women are even worse at it than men.
Huh, I'll be darned.
Yeah, well, we're used to giving and taking care of.
Yeah.
So it's difficult for us to receive.
Well, tell us about your book that's coming out soon, Brain Bliss, 7 Ways to Help Your Brain Help Yourself. What type of a format is that?
It's a self-growth book. I don't call it a self-help. It's a self-growth. And all of the techniques that I include can be learned easily by the readers.
Offers practical advice and things that you
can it offers practical
learn.
Advice, exercises. It will get them very involved with it. And it will lead them through the exercises. There's some assessments in there. So they're going to learn a lot about themselves, and then they can choose. They can choose to use all 7 techniques if they want in their lives, or they can choose just to focus on one, depending upon how they want to approach it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the brain guide, basically.
How should people they go to your website to check out on just when that book will be out, or how do they find out about
it? And on I announce it on my Facebook. I'll be announcing it on my Facebook as well.
Oh, okay. What's your Facebook address?
My Facebook is facebook.com/doc, that's D as in dog, O, C as in cat, period, Simone, which is S as in Sam, I, M as in Mary, O, N as in Nancy, E, dot Ravis, which is R as in Robert, A, V as in Victor, I, C as in cat, and Z as in zebra.
Okay, no, that so people can learn just when that book hits the market.
It's the stands, right?
Yeah.
It'll be on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and it'll be a Kindle book as well.
Yeah, that's great. But
right.
You also right now offer programs for small business owners and entrepreneurs, and you listed two programs, the Success Accelerator Program and the Stress Eliminator Program.
Right.
I like those names.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Explore those or sign up for them, or what? How do you get them?
Yeah, they just give me a call. My number is 760-327-8305. They can call me, and I can sign them up for the program, and we'll talk first and see what's appropriate for them. I also do one-on-one coaching and VIP days and the programs. And yesterday, for example, I led a seminar, so I do seminars for groups as well.
Oh, okay, group seminars. Now, do you have clients all around the country or the world?
Yeah, around the country. I'd like to be getting clients from around the world. That's the next step.
No, but you're not, you don't just, I know you're located in the Palm Springs area, but you don't
Right, no, because coaching can be done over Skype or over the phone or over Google Hangout.
Yeah, there's very few limitations now on
Exactly. And it's just as effective over those modalities as one-on-one. It's very powerful. Coaching is very powerful. I was a psychologist for about 14 years prior to switching into coaching.
I think it's fascinating also that you have an MBA. So
right, so that helps me working with the small business owners and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, well, I certainly appreciate you joining us here today, and we learned some, I think, really startling and exciting facts about the possibility of brain growth, so we can put to sleep once and for all this notion that we grow older, we grow less capable of learning new things or adapting to change or all these
other... Exactly. I love the way you put it. You have a very good understanding of all the myths and now the truths.
Well, I've been fighting against those myths on this program and in my book for several years now. So.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good thing.
So
I'm glad that you're out there.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Ravitz, and best of success with your brand new book, and we'll check that out as soon as it comes out.
Okay.
And now, listeners, let's all head out into spring training camp for our brains.
I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Well, regular listeners know a recurring theme of our program is waking up at middle age to a joyful, purposeful, accomplishment-filled second half of life. In fact, the title of my first book is A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. And we routinely are on the lookout for guests and websites that can help you accomplish this midlife awakening. And I recently came across a revolutionary new membership organization called Life Club, and its stated purpose is to help you transcend stress, fear, and depression by training your brain to evolve to its peak for your limitless joy. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And our guest is founder and chief architect and acclaimed human potential expert, Dr. Jeff Skolnick, MD and PhD. He's a board-certified clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Washington. He also has a doctorate in natural health science. He's a former brain researcher. He has over 30 years as a Zen meditation practitioner, and he's a noted author, and his books include a title I love, Awaken Your Brain, Coming Alive to Vibrant Well-Being and a New Reality. And he's also a workshop leader and frequent speaker, and occasionally I guess he gets a little sleep, I don't know how, with all those activities. But as you'll appreciate from our interview, despite all his degrees, Dr. Skolnick communicates in a down-to-earth manner that all of us can understand. And hello, Dr. Skolnick, and it's indeed a privilege to have you on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hey, Roy. Thank you so much.
Well, to begin our discussion, you tell us on your website that each of us has a higher brain and a lower brain. Can you please explain that and what the functions of the two brains are?
Well, I think it's easier to start with the lower brain because that's the part of you that can kind of get through the day on autopilot.
Yeah.
It's the part that, you know, our lives are pretty set in sort of in habits and the way we think about things, the way we react to things. And, you know, we all know that we can be pretty predictable.
Yeah.
And even to the point where we know it doesn't serve us. Well,
yeah.
That's all part of your lower brain.
Yeah, I think I operated on the lower brain for about 30 years of my adult life.
Yeah, well, join the club.
You're kind of like autopilot.
Yeah, yeah. I think most people, because we're so programmed, we go through life pretty fixed in the way we, in who we are and you know, how we react to things.
Yeah, we probably were programmed as children in a lot of cases, saying we can't do this and we can't do that and...
That's where the program starts.
Is
in just the second you're born, the programming starts.
Yes, it does. And we learn to just react to external stimuli all the time rather than really relying on that higher brain.
Right. And some of it is, you're right, absolutely external stimuli. And some of it is we're programmed to want to achieve certain things, to want to have success and power and prestige, and even if it doesn't feel right, we could still get on this sort of treadmill of just wanting more and more and more until it doesn't really end.
And sometimes we haven't really clearly defined what we want. We just want more.
Just want, right.
Want
right.
Happiness and, you know, these general terms like that.
Exactly.
Well, then how does the higher brain come in, and what is that, and how do we find that?
So the higher brain is part of your brain that knows it exists this moment. And most people think, well, I know I exist, but we're so busy running to the next moment that when you really exercise that, the circuits in your higher part of your brain, you wake up to the fact that this is really happening right now. It's not a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
And what that leads to is a sense of intensive appreciation and a sense of how incredible it is that we're alive this moment, that this is really happening.
But what
so
if this moment
you with
is
gratitude.
Really, what if this moment is really crummy, like we're suffering or, you know, under a lot of stress or pain? How do we overcome that?
Yeah, that's a fabulous question, because every moment has crummy and good parts to it.
Yeah.
But what overrides that is the sense of, I am grateful that I got a chance to exist at all.
That's very true. They always say, you know, you don't want to have another birthday, but the alternative is not all that
great. Exactly. Yeah, right. So there are ways that you can develop that higher part of your brain.
Yeah.
And it can actually develop faster if this moment is crummy, if you are suffering, if you're really aware of say, you know, a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed on your website that you say sometimes psychiatric patients are more receptive to looking for the higher brain than people that are just suffering through a dull normalcy.
That is a perfect way to put it, Roy. That's a great way to put it. That a lot of us who are able to distract ourselves don't really try to develop our higher brain because we don't really have to. We can just skate by. But people who are really struggling, they have to get through each moment. They have to figure out a new way to be in the world.
Yeah, that's why in my book I tell people at the start of the book to really do a self-assessment and see if you really are satisfied and enjoying your life rather than just floating along.
Right, exactly.
On that lower
brain. Right. Because the more you kind of get in touch with how the lower brain being in charge doesn't really work and how, you know, what kind of struggle life really is, the harder it is to really wake up out of it.
Well, you indicate that each one of us, by concentrating within, can awaken the higher brain to achieve the highest level of happiness and well-being and wellness? And how do you wake up from the slumber, as you call it, the slumber of ordinary consciousness? I think in my book I call it sleepwalking through life, but it's about the same
I think
thing.
That's a great way to put it, actually. Well, there's a series of exercises that I call in-shifting.
Yes.
That take you sort of one step at a time. It's really, in some ways, it's advanced mindfulness. It's also sort of redefining Zen meditation, but it takes you step by step through a series of exercises that help you strengthen those higher circuits in your brain so that you can start to really kind of come alive.
Yeah. And why is middle age a particularly good time to do that exercise?
Right. Well, I think most people, when they reach middle age, go into some form of crisis about it.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, it's the number 40 or number 50, or you look in the mirror and you see wrinkles and gray hair, or you're rich and, you know, but you realize it's not enough. It's kind of empty.
At a dead end in your career and suddenly realize you're not going to be the CEO
you're never going to reach your expectations.
And
so
that
it can
grown,
it sort of
and,
forces
maybe your
people.
Kids left home and you're no longer going to have the joy of raising kids. On the other hand, you have a void there to fill.
Right, you have an empty nest or your kids come back after they leave, so depending on how you look at it. And so if that crisis doesn't take you down, you can use it as an opportunity to really work on these exercises, to really think through what is the journey that I need to go through to develop my brain even more than it's already developed as an adult.
So you go through 5 steps, I think, of this neural in-shifting that can activate that higher brain. Tell us about those 5 steps.
So I've actually taken those steps. So the steps are taught in the Satori West Life Club.
Oh, I see.
And there's a couple of exercises that you can find on my website that kind of give you a sample. Essentially what they are, the steps teach you how to be aware of your senses, your body, your mind, how automatic your actions. So that awareness, at the same time as you learn to kind of detach and let go from them, so that you can put your attention on an inner place inside of you where you feel most alive, most present.
Yeah,
so
it's interesting.
I've taken those 5 steps
aware
and I've divided them into, you know, like probably 20 steps to make it easier.
Yeah, you want to be more aware of your external surroundings. At the other hand, you don't want the external surroundings to be overwhelming you because you have this strong inner core that you rely on.
Right, exactly. So as you're more aware of your senses and external environment and your body and your drives, you can actually paradoxically let go of it more so that you can really focus on your inner experience.
Yeah. Well, the concept of spiritual awakening has been around since ancient times. I mean, in the Bible and in most other world religions. But how do modern brain and behavioral science and the advanced wellness practices we have make awakening even more likely now than ever before?
Well, one is that looking at the experience of enlightenment and the route to enlightenment as a brain exercise, as a brain development activity, is I think a sea change because it takes it out of the realm of you know metaphysics and puts it into the realm of what are you practically doing. And then the second thing is that wellness and you know our modern understanding of the brain and how the brain functions and what the brain needs, both physically, mentally, socially, in every way, can help boost and kind of accelerate the process of brain development.
Oh, I see. Well, introduce us to your revolutionary new Life Club subscription opportunity. What is Life Club and how does it help people worldwide to find enlightenment and wellness and community and goal setting?
So the one secret sauce to learning all these exercises and practicing all the various strategies of wellness is to have support and community, connection, to go through it with other people who are sharing the journey with you.
Amen.
And also you need, there's a lot of education and guidance. So the Satori West Life Club was made to help people, even though you can't be here in Seattle where I am,
you can
still join in and connect online. So that's a kind of a powerful medium.
Yeah, it is the way we can do that online now.
Yeah, right.
And we can still root for the Seahawks.
Yes.
But like you, I know you offer an annual assessment of life, wellness, and depression, and a personalized life plan. Some of the things I noticed on your website that are included in that Life Club subscription.
And you know, the good thing is we've kept it relatively inexpensive, so that almost like anyone can really afford it. It's like $25 a month. So.
Oh, I see. And you can you get some time with your own life coach, I guess, on that too. But,
Initially, there's life coach interview, and then you can access more time later on if you want to.
Oh, I see. I know you mentioned the kind of people that would benefit the most by joining. You say seekers, stressors, and depressors.
Right.
Tell us a little about each of those three.
Huh.
Because I'm sure we have some of those out there.
Well, you know, they overlap because we all have all three aspects as part of us. But some people are kind of clearly defined as, say, seekers, people who really are concerned about their wellness, and they want the best experience of life possible.
Yeah.
And they're people who are out there doing meditation or going to yoga or going to like health food classes. And so they are really seekers of their highest potential.
Yeah, that's what we tell people to become if they're not already that, you know, if they're not totally satisfied, and who should be totally satisfied with their lives today.
Right.
There's always more out there.
And so stressors are people who feel like the amount of stress in their life has become unmanageable.
Yeah.
Like that lower brain has taken over so much they just can't get off the treadmill, and it's kind of killing them, either because they're hurting their health or their mental well-being.
Yeah, that's the sad person in middle age that says, you know, I'm not young anymore, and I don't have anything to look forward to, and I don't look forward to growing old, and I'm afraid illness, and you know, they're just ruled by fear and depression about the future. That's I guess more the depressors that are.
Well, it overlaps, Roy.
Yeah, sure does.
There is no at the end of the day, you know. Seekers are seeking because they're dissatisfied.
Yeah.
And stressors are stressing because they, you know, they want more and they're stressing themselves trying to get it.
But I like the term seekers better because they're looking for something better, whereas the other people may just be concentrating on the negative.
Maybe, although not intentionally.
Yeah.
And then certainly depressors are people who have some diagnosable depression or anxiety where life just really from moment to moment is just challenging.
Yeah, well, you offer a number of other products on your website. I like the Journey Inward, Unlocking the Ancient Secret to Your Brain and Life and Highest Well-Being. That's a DVD set.
Right, so it's a three-hour workshop that I did that kind of gives a sampling of what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Or you can have... consultations with life coach on your site. You have several life coaches that people can hook up with.
We have a couple of really excellent life coaches.
Oh,
you have to belong to the Life Club to access the coaches.
Oh, I see. But you also have a book on there called Awaken Your Brain that somebody might want to preview on there, or they can preview it on Amazon because I looked on there and saw it.
Yeah. Wow, you've done your homework. Thank you for that.
Give us your website address where listeners can find all about your Life Club subscription and your book and your background and everything else.
Okay, great. Well, it's Satori West, SatoriWest .net.
Yeah, remember it's .net and .com, not .com like some of the websites are. I also noticed you have a free gift on there. Your Dr. Skolnick's video series. In fact, I signed up for that and got my first video today, and I found it interesting.
Oh, huh. That's great. Yeah, you can kind of fish around on the website homepage, and you can sign up for the free video series, and that kind of gives you a little bit more of a sampling of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's Well, in conclusion, the Life Club subscription sounds like an excellent option to consider if at middle age you feel stuck in your career, lifestyle, relationships, any or all of those things, and they don't generate sustainable and unrestrained happiness and a sense of purpose in your life. And Dr. Skolnick's advice on how to open up your inner eye and train your higher brain to take control over your lower brain ties right in with our program's routine advice to assume control as CEO of you. And this sounds like a real good way to do that. And without active intervention, stress will only likely get worse as the older you become, and no one wants to have a second half of life where you're going into the sunset in misery and don't have any objectives in life or any joy waiting in the future or in the present. Like Dr. Skolnick says, you shouldn't be concentrating on the future. You need to enjoy the moment you're in, this very moment. And with active intervention, you are capable of incredible enlightenment and well-being, as he says, and that's www.satoriwest.net. And please also visit our website, middleagerenewal.com, for a free gift and sound practical advice on waking up to life and challenging the future. And thank you so much, Dr. Skolnick, for being with us today, and best of success in your Life Club venture.
Hey, Roy, thank you so much. Best of success to you as well.
And we'll see you all next week as you and I move forward into a bountiful yet carefree spring and summer. And we'll be back next week, so you be there. And thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.